John chapter 10. We continue to go verse by verse through the Word of God. On Sunday morning, we're in the Gospel of John, and we've come to chapter 10. And chapter 10 is the great passage on Jesus Christ being the Good Shepherd. You know, it's so sad that many people know that Jesus Christ came as a babe in a manger, but they don't know why he came. The Bible lets us know, Jesus said that he came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He came to die. He was born to die. And the Bible says, is going to show us this in this passage about the Good Shepherd. His purpose for coming is to lay down his life for us, that we could be a part of his fold. In John chapter 10, I want to read the first 15 verses, if you'd look at them with me, as we look into the Word of God together. John 10 verse 1, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." You know, in the Old Testament, the Bible prophesied that the Lord God would come to be a shepherd for his people. The Bible tells us that in several places. One passage in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 10 and 11, it says, "But the Lord God will come with strong hand. And he says his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms. He'd carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead." God prophesied that one day that the Lord himself, God himself, would come to be the shepherd of men's souls. And even so, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, as he came, fulfilled those very promises. But as Jesus talks to them and tells them the fact that he is the good shepherd, the Bible says in verse 6, would you look at it as we begin? "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things he spake." Understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. They didn't understand what he said. They didn't make the application. Two times in this passage, Jesus says he's the good shepherd. Would you see verse 11? Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Would you see verse 14? "I am the good shepherd." John's gospel is the gospel of the I am. It's the gospel showing Jesus as the Son of God. And so many times already we've seen Jesus as he stepped out in chapter 6, verse 35. And he said, "I am the bread of life." We heard when he said in chapter, also he says, "I'm the living bread that came down from heaven," in the same chapter. The Bible tells us in this chapter 10, he's also called the door. He says, "I am the door." He said that in verse 7. He said that in verse 9. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. He says at the end of chapter 10, verse 36, he says that I am the Son of God. He also told them, he said, I'm the light of the world in the Gospel of John. In chapter 11, he's going to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Over and over. And it continually goes on. Jesus Christ is everything that a sinner needs. Jesus Christ is everything all of us need. But some people don't come to the shepherd. They don't come to the Lord. He's never that to them. He may be that to someone else, but he's not that to them. You know, I preached before on Psalm 23 when David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody can't say that. That was something personal in his life. I wonder if it was personal in your life today. You know, three times the Bible describes Jesus as a shepherd. In John 10, it says he's the good shepherd. And the good shepherd's going to die for the sheep. He's going to give his life. In Hebrews chapter 13, the Bible calls Jesus Christ the great shepherd. And that great shepherd is going to sanctify and perfect those of his into the will of God. He perfects the sheep. And then the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 that he's the chief shepherd. And one day he's going to appear. He's going to come and receive the sheep to himself and take them out of this world. Even as John chapter 10 shows us, he's going to lead those sheep out one day. I wonder, do you know the shepherd? Do you know Jesus? So many people know about Christmas, but they don't know Jesus. So many people know the facts of the Bible, but there's no personal relationship with a shepherd. Would you look at our text? I want to give you three things, because each time in these 15 verses that I've read, Jesus describes himself as a shepherd of the sheep. He's going to give an alternative. First of all, in verse 1 and 2, if you'd look at it, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He goes on to talk about those thieves and robbers in verse 8 and 9 and how they contrast with him. My first question this morning to you is, as we think about the Bible and think about the words of Jesus, do you want a shepherd or do you want a thief and a robber? You can have a shepherd in your life or you can have a thief in your life. The second thing Jesus says as he talks about himself as the shepherd, he says in verse 3 and 4, to him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice. And the Bible says he calleth his own sheep by name, leadeth them out. And in verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Look at verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I wonder this morning, do you have a shepherd or do you have a stranger in your life? Not only do you want a shepherd or do you want a thief, do you have a shepherd or do you have a stranger in your life? And then Jesus gives one other illustration. As he talks about him being the shepherd, he drops down in verse 11. He says, I'm the good shepherd. But then he says in verse 12, but he that is an hireling. And he contrasts himself with the hireling, someone that's just hired. He doesn't care about the sheep at all. Do you need a shepherd or do you need a hireling? Let's look at these things one at a time this morning. First of all, do you want a shepherd or do you want a thief? The Bible says in verse number 1, and he begins to talk about this door. Four times he mentions the door. He said in verse 1, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And then he said in verse 7 and verse 9, I am the door. Now, you know, if you have a thief in your life, if they don't come by the door. Do you know there's only one door? He says the door. He didn't say a door. He said the door. You know what Jesus said later on in John chapter 14? He said, I am the what? Wait, would you look at that verse again in verse 1 of our text? End of the verse, but climbeth up some other, what does that say? Some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Here's a door to the sheepfold. The door into the sheepfold, verse 1, the Bible says. You know, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and that's the same context where he says, I'm the way. I'm the only way into the Father's house. I'm the only way into that heaven. I'm only the only way into that sheepfold, the place where the sheep belong, the place where the sheep live, the place where the sheep are going to stay. You know, there's a door in heaven, and there's a door to heaven. Jacob talked about that in Genesis chapter 31, where he said he saw the gate of heaven and he saw a ladder there and angels ascending and descending. And if you remember, as we preach through the Gospel of John in chapter 1, at the last verse of chapter 1, the Bible said that Jesus Christ is that one who the angels ascend and descend. He is that ladder from earth to heaven. He is that gate to heaven. He is that door unto heaven. There's a gate, there's a door to heaven, but the thief and the robber tries to go another way. You know, the thief and the robber is not going to come through the door of your house. Well, unless he's going to break in. Maybe he'll come through a window. Maybe he'll come through another way. You always know a thief in your life if he doesn't go God's way. God only has one way. And that's the way of Jesus Christ. It's the way that's mentioned in this book that we have. We hold in our hand God's Word, the Bible. Can I tell you, you know what, all the other, there are not many ways to heaven. There's only one door to heaven. Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. And what a sad thing is, some people kiss the door of heaven, they go to hell, just like Judas. Judas walked in the Garden of Eden, he kissed Jesus on the cheek as he betrayed him, and he knew all about Jesus Christ, but he kissed the door of heaven without ever going through the door. He kissed the door of heaven without ever actually coming in to all that Jesus wanted him to come into. He was a thief. You remember that, what the Bible said about Judas? He was a thief, right? He was a thief. He had the bag. He just wanted to steal. He just wanted his own way. He didn't want God's way. First thing I want to tell you this morning, if you're not going God's way, then there's a thief in your life. Because when we don't go God's way, the devil will steal from our lives. We'll steal from our own lives all the things that God really has for us. Do you want a shepherd or do you want a thief? All these religions that say you can get to God some other way, they're thieves and robbers. They're stealing people from their opportunity to really find out about the true God and eternal life, which is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. The door into the sheepfold, the door into heaven is Jesus. It's not some Mormon made up Jesus or Jehovah Witness made up Jesus. It's not a Muslim way. It's not a Buddhist way. You say, well, that sounds very exclusionary. That seems very narrow minded. Well, there's only one door. There's only one. We want everybody to go through that door. We don't care what color they are. We don't care what nation they find themselves in. We don't care what background they are. But there's only one way. And Jesus said, if you're going to get into the sheepfold, you've got to go by the way of the door. And I am the door. And if you try to climb up any other way, you are a thief and a robber. Some religions say, well, if you get baptized, you'll get in the sheepfold. No, you can go out and, hey, man, as a kid, we baptized each other all the time in the pool, you know. That's not the way. Somebody said, well, I know what. We'll get into that sheepfold. We'll get into God's family by taking communion. No, that's another way. You don't take Jesus Christ into your belly, you take him into your heart. Amen. So, well, we'll be good for it. You know, we'll just be moral. We'll try to keep the commandments. No, that's another way. That's another. And Jesus said, if you try to climb up any other way, you try to get to heaven any other way by going through the door, by coming to the shepherd, you are a thief and you are a robber. That's what Jesus said. I wonder how you approach God. Do you approach God through Jesus Christ? There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We don't get to God through religion. We don't get to God through the saints. We don't get to God through any other way but through the door. And the door is the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything less is a thief and a robber. You know what doors do? Doors not only let people in, they let people out. You know what the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ being the door? The Bible tells us, look at there. He says in verse number 3 at the end of the verse, To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. You know, Jesus Christ is the door that leads us into God, that leads us into heaven. But he's also the door that leads us out. Leads us out from what? Leads us out of this world. Leads us out of our sin. Leads us out of all the penalty of shame and guilt that our sins have brought. Jesus Christ can not only bring you in, but he can bring you out. Amen. He can bring you out of what's wrong in your life and in your heart. And he can bring you in to everything that God has for a sinner. But he's the door. And if you try to go any other way, the Bible says you're a thief and a robber. Look at verse 8. He continues to talk about those thieves as he talks about himself being the door. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Look at verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. What a statement for Jesus to make. Now listen, he was either the Son of God and the only way to heaven and the only one you need in your life, or he was the most deluded individual that ever lived on the face of this earth. Right there from the mouth of Jesus, he said, everybody that was before me was a thief and a robber. Everybody that was before me showed you a false way. I'm showing you the true way. And you know what? You can tell the shepherd from the thief or the robber. The shepherd's not trying to steal from you. He's trying to give to you. He's not trying to take something from your life. He's trying to add something, to give something to your life. The devil is a thief. The devil is a robber. Our sins steal from us. The world steals from you. People steal from you. But the good shepherd wants to give to your life. Look at verse 8. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So my question is, do you want a shepherd or do you want a thief and a robber? Our society today, so many people, the devil is stealing from them fellowship with God. The devil is stealing from them a real family. You know what? The devil doesn't want a sinner to come to the shepherd. He doesn't want an individual to come to Jesus Christ, because when you come to Jesus Christ, you have a wonderful family. We got a great family of God. And that family of God is not just in one location. It's all around this world, people that name the name of Christ. How many people have been stolen a wonderful family because somebody sold them a bill of goods, a bill of lies, saying, you know, this is what you need. You need the pleasures of life. You need to enjoy yourself. You need to embrace whatever you want. You need to embrace your sin or do whatever you want to do. And that thief is stealing from them the most precious things in the world. The most precious thing in the world, the family of God. Most precious things in the world are fellowship with God. The devil, a thief, wants to steal that from you. Get you away from the shepherd. So you don't know fellowship with God, but you just know shame and guilt. That's the thief. The thief steals innocency away from people. You know, once you lose your innocency, you don't get it back, do you? And the devil every day is trying to steal from lives, not just of young people, stealing decency and innocency and morality and godliness. The devil is a taker. He's just a taker. And some people give in to those lies and they think that those things have their best interest or heart, that thief or that robber or that one. You know, we're going through the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night. The book of Proverbs talks about this. The strange woman, we're going to get to that in a minute. But you know what all that is? Those are people that steal from you, take from your life. You know what Jesus says? I'm not a thief and a robber, I'm a shepherd. And you know what I want to do for you? Look at verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I want to save your life. I don't want to destroy your life. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. He wants to destroy a good family. He wants to destroy a good life. He wants to destroy a good church. He wants to destroy a soul. But Jesus said, I've come that you might come in this door and come to me as your shepherd and you can be saved. And then he says, and you can go in and out and find pasture. You know what pasture? That sheep comes in. He gets to feed by the... He said, Jesus saying, if you'll come to me and that, just get away from that thief, get away from that robber, come to me and you'll be able to eat. You'll be able to feed. I'll feed you. I'll give you the nourishment that you need. Look at the next verse, a great verse, verse 10. Jesus says this, the thief cometh not for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. You know the wonderful thing about Jesus Christ? He doesn't just want to save you. He wants to give you the best life you could ever have in this world. Sin will steal from you. The devil will steal from you. The world, the flesh, it'll ruin your life. And you'll be left picking up the pieces. It'll leave a bad, look, the devil and sin in this world and the flesh leave a bad taste in your mouth. Oh, there's pleasure in it for a little season. But at the end of that day, you got to live with it. At the end of the day, the devil and sin and the things of the flesh in this world leave you in a little shack somewhere with a dirt floor and a dirty heart and a dirty life and stolen blessings of God that you could have had for your own heart and family. And yet Jesus says, you want a thief? You want a robber? Or do you want me, the shepherd? Because I'm come that you might have life. I'll save you. I'll not just save you for time. I'll save you for eternity. I'll give to you eternal life and you'll never perish, as he says at the end of this chapter. But he says, not just then. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know what the lie of the devil is? That the Christian life means that you miss out on something. Yeah, I'll tell you what I missed out on. I missed out on venereal disease. I tell you what I missed out on. I missed out on a ruined liver. I tell you what I missed out on. I missed out on a nervous breakdown or depression. What I missed out on, a whole lot of things, but it wasn't anything of the abundant life. The most wonderful life in the world is coming to the shepherd and living for the shepherd and living with the shepherd and going in and out that door and let the shepherd feed you. Say, well, I just don't see the Christian life be so wonderful. Well, maybe you need to try it. Maybe you really need to be committed to that shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Want. There's nothing I want. Oh man, preacher, there's just this, always this empty thirst. Get to Jesus. Get to the shepherd. That means you're drinking from a wrong fountain. You've been going to a robber's house or a thief's place. Because Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, brings you to a pasture that satisfies your soul. It's an abundant life. But if your life's not wrapped up in Him, you'll never know that abundance. He can lead you beside the still waters. Mind you, that doesn't mean the storms never come. That doesn't mean problems never arise. But the waters are always still in your heart. And the peace that the shepherd gives, the peace that Jesus gives, is real. I tell you what, brethren, I see people and I pray with people that have all types of problems. I don't know how they get through without Jesus Christ. Because there's such a peace on the inside. Amen. That though I don't understand what's going on, there's still waters in my life. And I know He's leading me in those paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even if I go through a valley of a shadow of death, I'm not going to fear because He's with me. He's with me everywhere I go. That's the great thing about the shepherd. He's with you. And He'll take you to the green pasture and the still water. And He'll make, David said, my cup runneth over. I wonder if you went to David and said, David, don't you wish you'd lived a different life? He'd look at you and he'd say, what's wrong with you? Are you a fool? I mean, I was just a boy on the backside of a field. I was from a little family, no prominence, no position, no nothing. And I was the youngest of them, and my brothers didn't even like me. And God made me the king of Israel. God's not held anything back from me. My cup is run over. And surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And then I'll get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, you Christians don't have any fun. I remember that's the first thing my brother asked me before he got right with God. He said, so living for Jesus, it can't be any fun, can it? You know, I almost, you know, I'm glad I didn't put a wisecrack. I should have said, how much fun you having out there? Jesus Christ gives the abundant life. And there's a thief and a robber trying to tell you that's not true. The shepherd has the best life.
Amen.
My shepherd will supply my need. My shepherd will give all that I need for my life. I do not want a thief. I do not want a robber. I want the shepherd. Do you know him? You know what that thief does? He comes at nighttime. You know what Jesus does? He never hides his motivation. He comes in the day. He comes in the light of truth. Everything is above board with the Lord. Here's the way. Here's the door. Here's the life. The shepherd or the robber? Look secondly with me, please. Verse 3, the Bible says, to him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, and will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Do you have a shepherd or a stranger? You know, we all taught our kids, you know, don't follow a stranger. Don't be nice to, or I'm not saying it right, not don't be nice to a stranger, but what help me? Don't talk to strangers. Yeah. Really, don't let strangers talk to you. That probably would be important as well. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have a shepherd in your life or do you have a stranger in your life? Are you following a shepherd or are you following a stranger? You say, how do I know? He just told you how. He said here in this verse, he said that he calleth the sheep hear his voice, verse 3. You see that? The sheep hear his voice. He said at the end of verse 4, the sheep follow him for they know his voice. The sheep follow the voice of Jesus Christ. And he says, a stranger will they not follow. They'll flee from, like a little kid, walking up to a stranger they've never seen. And they're not comfortable around him. You know what a good sign is that you belong to Jesus Christ? You're not comfortable with the devil. You're not comfortable with the devil's crowd. You're not comfortable with the strange woman of Proverbs. You're not comfortable with the strangers that know not God and serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't follow a stranger. We got a lot of people said they're saved and following strangers. And Jesus Christ said, if you're my sheep, you don't follow a stranger. You run from a stranger. Am I reading the Bible? A stranger will they not follow. You say, what's happening in our world, preacher? There's a lot of people that aren't sheep. They know his voice, but they don't. Look, there's a discerning in my soul. I don't even have to have a Bible verse on it, but I can hear some things in this world and in society, and they just don't ring true. They just don't, they don't match. They don't go because it's a strange voice. And yet when the Lord speaks, and when the Bible speaks, and when the Spirit of God speaks, and when the things of the holiness of the Lord and the true things of God, oh yes, there is an agreement in the Spirit. A stranger will they not follow. The Bible said in verse 4, look at it again. He goeth before them. If you have a real shepherd instead of a stranger, you let the shepherd go before you. Remember, you know, when we go out here to eat sometime, we let some people go before. We let them go first. You know what? A sheep, you know what the sheep do? They let the shepherd go first. You know why? Because they don't know where to go.
Right.
And they want to make sure the shepherd's first. There may be some danger out there. I'm going to make sure the shepherd's out there in front. The shepherd knows where we're going. We don't know where we're going. The shepherd knows where we're going. You know what happens? Sometimes we listen to a voice of a stranger and we get in front of the sheep, or we put something else in front of the shepherd, I'm sorry. And we put something else before where Jesus should be. We put that in our lives. And these things ought not so to be, because the Bible says, he goeth before them, and verse 4 says, and the sheep follow him. They follow him. If you're saved and you're not following Jesus Christ, you are either miserable or you are not a sheep. The sheep, are we reading the Bible? The sheep follow him. You know why? For they know his voice. They got a relationship with him. I've talked to shepherds before. I've talked to them overseas. In Romania, they had shepherds that stood out in the cold. I mean, you know, way below zero, and they'd be out there with the shepherd's garments. And those sheep would get to know that shepherd so much. The shepherd just made a little noise. You guys that raise cattle, you know how to do that, and you can call the cattle. Those sheep get to know that shepherd so much, but you can even mimic, somebody else could mimic the voice of a shepherd, and that strange voice they won't follow because they know the cadence. They know the tone of the voice. It's like when somebody you know calls you on the phone and they don't tell you who they are, but you answer the phone and they say hello. They've not introduced themselves. They not said this is so-and-so. They just say hello. And you say, oh, hey, how you doing? Right? Hopefully you do that with your wife or your husband. Yeah! Or your child. I know your voice. You ever got a call from somebody that said, hey, how you doing? They started talking to you like they knew you, like your family's best friend and all that. And that they're, and you had to stop and you had to say, who is this? Sort of uncomfortable. Because you were not familiar enough with their voice. Because you had not spent enough time with them or talked with them or been together with them so long. If my wife calls me, I will not confuse her voice with any other lady in this congregation. You know why? Spent too much time with her. I know what she sounds like. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what Jesus sounds like? Do you know his voice? Do you know his heart? Do you know what he loves? Can you tell when he's speaking to you? Can you tell when he's correcting you? Or are you listening to a stranger instead of the shepherd? He says, thou flee from that voice of the stranger. Verse 14, he said, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. We know each other. And that's why they follow me. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. Jesus said, I know the Father. The Father knows me. I know my sheep. The sheep know me. We got a relationship. Oh, this thing of religion where you just get these facts in your head, but you don't have any relationship with God. That's not a shepherd in your life. The Bible says, drop on down to verse 26, Jesus said, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Do you have a shepherd this morning? Are you following Jesus Christ? Do you know his voice or are you just in church? Are you following a stranger in your life or are you following a shepherd in your life? He leadeth me, oh blessed thought, oh heavenly words with comfort from wherever I go, wherever I be. I know it's my God that leadeth me. I have a shepherd. He's going to lead me in the right paths. Jesus didn't lead you into the lives a lot of these people are living. He leads you into a good path and a plain path and a path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads you to a place for his glory. You following the shepherd? We have a little hymn in that book. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere. Everywhere. I will follow on. Down in the valley? Okay, I'll follow. On a mountaintop? Okay, I'll follow. Because I love you and I know your voice. And I'm not interested in the stranger. I'm interested in the shepherd. Because he calls me by name. He says he calleth his own sheep by name here in this text. He calls them by name. I haven't seen that personally, but what, you know, we've got names for our dogs, you know. People have names for their animals and they call their animals. Jesus has, the Bible says the shepherd, he calls them all by name. You remember when Jesus Christ met all those disciples and he went to them and he called them by name? Andrew, Simon. He called them by name, Thomas, Nathaniel. He knew them, and they followed him. There was a relationship there. You know, one day the Bible says he's going to call us all by name that belong to him when the chief shepherd appears and that door in heaven opens again and the Lord's going to lead his sheep out. He's going to call us all by name. I wonder, do you belong to the shepherd? Do you follow the shepherd? If you had to prove to me that you belong to the shepherd by how your life follows him, would it match? Or would we say, no, you're following a stranger. I don't think you belong to the fold. A shepherd or a stranger? A shepherd or a thief? One last thing, and I'm finished this morning. Drop down to verse 11. The Bible says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. The wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd, he says. Do you need a shepherd, or do you need a hireling? Do you need someone that's just hired? A hired hand to come do what you need in your life. The hireling, when danger arises, the hireling runs. The hireling flees because he's only around the sheep because for what he can get out of them. Because he's got a job. He gets paid for watching these stinking sheep. I don't care about these sheep. It's a job. And if danger comes, well, I'm not going to get in the way. Sorry, sheep. I didn't sign up for this pay. He has no personal investment of his heart with the sheep. He's just a hireling. He's just trying to get something out of them. Listen to me this morning. There's a host of people in this world that'll just try to get stuff out of you. And the only reason they'll be nice to you or be around you or be in your life or involved with you is for what they can get out of you. That is this world. But the shepherd is not that way. The shepherd cares for his sheep. You know how much he cares for his sheep? This text says he lays down his life for them. He doesn't run away from the danger. He runs to the danger so you don't have to have it. He doesn't run away from the wolf. He runs to the wolf. He's not a coward. The hireling's a coward. Jesus Christ, with his great courage and his love for all of us, was willing to take our sin and our shame and our judgment and our penalties of wickedness and hang on a tree and take all that in his own body. I tell you what, that was the greatest act of courage that this world ever saw. Someone that had never sinned, that was spotless and that was holy and that was innocent, was willing to gather up all the wickedness and the sins of all humanity and take them in his own body and not try to get out of it and not take up for himself or give another excuse. You know why he did that? Because he cares for us. He loves us. And he's not a coward. He's a suffering shepherd. He's not just a supplying shepherd. He's that shepherd that suffered for us so that we didn't have to suffer for what we did wrong. He's the one that took that blunt of the wrath of God and the danger that approacheth. He's the seeking shepherd in Luke 15 that went after that sheep that went astray and went way out there and nobody cared, but he cared. The Bible said in the book of Mark that Jesus looked over the multitudes and he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And the Bible said he had compassion on them. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? I tell you what, if anybody ever cared for you, no one ever cared for you like Jesus. Nobody ever paid the penalty of sin and died for you. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He laid down his life for the sheep. I tell you what, when I look at the shepherd and I look at the sheep, I think the shepherd's a lot more valuable than the sheep. And yet he gave his life so the sheep could live. It doesn't even make sense, does it? That the shepherd would value the life of a sheep over his own life. But that's the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that laid down his life for you, and nobody ever loved you like that. Nobody will ever care for you like that. Do you need a hireling in your life? Or do you need a shepherd? Do you need one that really cares and that knows how to comfort and knows how to protect? The Bible says we can cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you, the Bible says. And if the Lord laid down His life for us, how much more shall He not freely give us all things that we need in life? Nobody liked a shepherd. A shepherd or a thief. A shepherd or a stranger. The shepherd or a hireling. Which one do you have? Which one do you want? I know which one we all need.